always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner. Happy to be here after some extended time off with my family for Christmas break. I hope you also had a wonderful and blessed Christmas and are getting back into the swing of things here over the holidays. Well, you've probably heard me talk about my kids before. I have two children. One boy is dangerously close to his teenage years, and we're at that point where we're starting to talk about all the different changes that are either going on or are coming soon, and how God made the body to be pretty amazing. And because of that, I've been reading a book by Dr. Walt Larimore called The Ultimate Guy's Body Book, Not So Stupid Questions About Your Body. And I have to say, that has really helped me start some great conversations that might otherwise feel a little awkward. And both my husband and I have just found really great benefits and wisdom in reading a book like this from a Christian perspective, how God created us, his plan for puberty, changes, sex, and all those things that we cannot stop from happening, even though sometimes I'd like to. But we can help our preteens be prepared for them and can help our kids kind of know that although this is a somewhat scary time, God does have it all under control. And one of the verses that's really been helpful in this situation for us is Psalm 139. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And we've really just camped on that verse with our kids and just the changes that they're going through to know that this is part of God's plan for life. It's exciting. It's scary. It's unique, but it's all part of his plan for your life. So, anyway, I was thrilled to hear that Dr. Larimore and a co-author, Dr. Amaryllis Sanchez-Wolliver, we call her Dr. Mari, also put together the Ultimate Girls Body Book to address some of these same issues about growing up, but written specifically for girls and their parents. So I'm thrilled to be able to talk to Dr. Mari today to discuss the importance of talking with your teen or your preteen daughter or your niece. It also gives tips and advice on how to do that, as well as provides really great instruction and wisdom. Like I said, just information for your daughter to read on her own, and then you can discuss together as parents, and just really draw on God's wisdom for what he has created for our teens and preteens. So let me introduce you to our guest today, because you probably don't need to hear any more information from me about it. Let's hear from her. Dr. Mari is a pastor's wife, a family physician. She's an inspirational speaker. Her work as a doctor turned into a ministry as she strives to care for the soul and minister to the spirit while treating the body. She received the AMA Achievement Award and the Psychiatry Clinical Excellence and Research Award as well, among others. Her greatest joy, though, comes from knowing God and making him known, sharing her life with her loving husband and children, and from continually pursuing opportunities to share this gift of hope. She also has a devotional and has written this book in conjunction with Dr. Walt Larimore, again, called The Ultimate Girl's Body Book. Welcome, Dr. Mari.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege to be with you today.
Well, absolutely. It's a fun subject to talk about. I do feel like we've been talking about it ad nauseum just with my husband. Oh, what are we going to talk about next? It's like these things come at rapid fire. And so the books that you've written, both of these, Ultimate Girls Body Book and the Ultimate Boys Body Book, have just been really essential in that. What drew you to write the Ultimate Girls Body Book?
Well, my friend and colleague of many years, Walt, asked me to write it with him after he wrote the one for boys. But really the journey begins many, many years ago when I first came to Christ. If I can, I will just briefly share how that came to be. It was during a very desperate time. My first job as a physician was in the Air Force. And during that time, my husband became quite ill. And he's doing great now, thanks to many doctors, nurses, surgeons, and God, and the way he heals through people. But during that very desperate time, I really was drawn to my knees, and I prayed to God after a lifetime of Christianity, really, but not knowing Christ in a personal way. I fell on my knees, and I said, Lord, if you are really real, please reveal yourself to me, because I don't know what will be of me if you don't. And he did, and he led me through a series of opportunities and open doors first to a Christian retreat, and then he led me to put this hunger in my heart for God's Word. And I began to read it and read the whole thing in about 3 months, just in detail. And then since then, I began to write for him in various venues. But one of the things that happened is he brought me to this retreat called The Saline Solution. And The Saline Solution was based on a book written and really a video series written by Walt and also William Peel, a theologian. And in that program, they helped healthcare professionals to incorporate their faith into their practice of medicine in a way that is respectful to people of all faiths and also very effective. And so through that, I just began this journey that led to my other book, which is to help healthcare professionals incorporate their faith into their practice, and it's called Walking with Jesus in Healthcare. But I began to write for an organization called Bible Reading Fellowship, and I write devotions and also Bible commentary. And through that, which I've been doing since 2001, God's Word has become crucial in my life. And so to me, living apart from the wisdom, the guidance, the truth, and the understanding of God's character that you gain by reading His Word, to me it would be impossible to live life. And so the Ultimate Girl's Body book is first and foremost biblically based and then medically accurate to help girls go through puberty, understanding who they are in Christ first, and have that as their foundation to go through puberty and life.
Well, and as you know, since the show is called Connecting Faith, it really is about connecting our faith to our everyday lives. And this book really explains, especially at the beginning, that these physical things that are happening with girls are not just physical, that it's actually a lot about changing body. There's emotional health, relational health, spiritual health are part of that. Can you explain more about that?
Well, the first thing is to understand that as people, as human persons, we are not just bodies, that we are body, soul, spirit, mind. And so that we have to focus on each of those areas. And as one of those areas gets stronger, all areas will get stronger as well. And so if our spiritual health is weak, as the foundation of who we are, it's going to affect every part of us. It's going to affect our bodies. It's going to affect our emotions and our relationships. And that applies really to all of them. So if our body is weaker, it's going to affect our emotions. It's going to affect how we feel, which is going to affect how we act, et cetera. So we're really one whole being rather than fragments of that. But each part is critical.
Well, and the way the book is laid out is that it asks a lot of questions. Each chapter is a question. And I love that because I feel like I asked myself a lot of these questions back when I was a teenager. And as girls are reading this, I feel like they would say, wait a minute, I do have that question. I mean, question number 5 says, am I growing or is the ceiling dropping? And
right.
That introduces that subject of growth. Why did you decide to lay the book out this way?
Well, I think it worked out wonderfully in the final product. And really, we begin by talking about very specific changes in the physical body, and then we move into all the other areas. And so, yes, a lot of the preteens and teens that come in are very focused on their physical bodies because that's changing quite a bit, and it's happening sometimes very fast. And so if you are prepared for what's coming, it makes it so much easier. So we wanted to sort of lay a foundation that addresses some of the questions that are very fresh on their minds early on. And then as the book progresses, as you get into questions 30 and above, they really get to be more mature topics that teens and older girls will be thinking about more. And so we do recommend that either that the mothers or the adults who's reading the book with the girls, that hopefully we'll go through it together, and that those later chapters, they may need to wait on some of those, especially with some of the younger girls, but they can certainly hold on to the book as a resource to use for many years.
Sure. It's almost like when you're pregnant and you read the book that's called What to Expect When You're Expecting. And so you read about all these things that are going to happen, but then when they actually happen, you go back and you read them again because you didn't pay a lot of attention the first time. And it seems like this book could be used that way as well, that you may read them and think, okay, is that what's going to happen? But then when it actually does, you have this resource to go back to.
Absolutely. And how great that you can have the resource so that when you hear things that are a little bit crazy, whether from friends or on TV shows or wherever it is, that you can think back and, hey, wait, that's not what I read in the book. And then you can go back and reread it and be refreshed with truth, which is our goal.
Well, one of the subjects that the book addresses a lot is just the identity that someone has as one of God's children, and what an important lesson that is for especially a preteen or a teenage girl to learn with all those changes that are happening. You start to doubt, well, am I pretty? Is this the way I'm supposed to be? Am I supposed to look like her instead? Why did you decide to address that type of subject? It seems like it's so huge in our culture.
Yeah, I think we called the title, I'm trying to find it, Why Do I Look So Different from the Girls I See on TV? And it's such a huge topic for, especially for girls in our culture, because we are constantly bombarded as women and as girls with the idea that, as one author put it, I love how they put it, that we are bodies rather than somebodies. And that is not what we are. That is not who we are. And so that the primary message of our book is to really give girls a new way to look at themselves through God's eyes, that we were beautifully and wonderfully made by a God who is good and loves us. And that is the foundation of who we are, that we are not our bodies, that we are not objects for someone's pleasure or use, but that we are precious to God. And from that place of understanding who we are, then comes our purpose, which is also found in our relationship with Him and what He tells us in His Word. So we want to give a new perspective so that these messages that are coming constantly, whether through social media or on billboards or on TV or when we walk through the mall, so that we can just drown out all those lies that come and tell us we are not who God says we are.
Such an important message. Hey, maybe you're listening today and you think, I'd like to have this book or get this in the hand of my teenage girl or almost teenage girl. Hey, you should give us a call. We have a few copies to give away. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Or maybe you have a question for Dr. Mari. She'd love to be able to answer your questions. And you could also submit one online if you'd rather do it that way. Otherwise, call us here at Faith Radio. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and you're listening to Connecting Faith.
As parents, you always want to know what or who is influencing your children. While most of us have a good handle on this in the real world, did you ever think about who could be influencing your child online? Zabra is a new way for you to protect and monitor your kids' influences while on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Zabra works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to alert you to potentially harmful conversations on social media. Zabra gives you peace of mind. For more information, visit Zabra.com. That's Zabra.com to get started today.
A swimmer was caught in a strong current and close to drowning. Suddenly, a life jacket was thrown within reach. He grabbed the life jacket and it saved his life. Sometimes we feel like we're drowning in the problems of life. Maybe it's financial, marital, or job related. Where can we find hope? Jesus is our rescuer and wants us to reach out to Him. Learn more. Call 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us live at needhim.org.
Well, hi, and welcome.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathbanner, and today I'm talking with Dr. Mari, who has co-authored a book with Dr. Walt Larimore called The Ultimate Girl's Body Book, Not So Silly Questions About Your Body. And it's meant to be read both by your preteen or teenage girl and a parent to just give you some talking points and subjects that you might want to bring up to just help your daughter to know that she is made in the image of God as a beautiful, special, and unique human being, and that all these changes that are going on in her body are completely normal, even though they could be completely scary. Right, Dr. Mari?
Absolutely.
Well, there were some questions that I kind of jotted down here. Why don't I look like her? Do I have to use that? And is this normal? Are those all questions that girls would be asking during this time?
Absolutely. And, you know, I love watching my daughter and her friends. And I love to sometimes just sit in the background and listening to the types of conversations they're having. And it's a beautiful thing to remember what it was like for me. And I think that's a lot of what the book can do. As a conversation starter for moms and adults is to help them remember what it was like, you know, what it was like to have that first pimple and not know if it was going to last a day or a year, you know, to remember all those crazy stories. And it can be wonderful and fun for you as a mom, and then you can make it fun and exciting for your girls.
One of the subjects that you talk about is just trying to protect your girl, I guess, from falling prey to this impossible beauty standard. What kind of tips can you offer a parent to just help girls wade through this without being scarred for life?
Right. Well, you know, I think the first thing is to think about what things we want to protect them from, you know, and definitely the body image issues are huge, you know, and very much tied to eating disorders and many other risks, depression, low self-esteem. And so we want to focus on God's purposes for girls and women and move away from an overemphasis on weight and issues of how we look. And the first thing we can do as moms in that area is to model that. You know, when our conversation and our concerns and our money goes to beautifying our bodies in a physical way, that sends a message to our girls. And so we want to be about, you know, focusing on our whole person and who God made us to be. So that is critically important. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, you know, unhealthy habits we want to protect our girls from, whether it has to do with not enough sleep, nutrition, activity levels. We want to teach them to guard their eyes, their heart, their ears, you know. So, again, we model those behaviors and we teach them starting at a young age, you know, the eating and activity level habits that you have when you are a preteen are very often, research shows, what you keep when you are older.
Mm.
And so very important during this time to foster and nurture good habits. Excesses and the dangers of social media and to focus on giving our children healthy boundaries in that area is huge because the dangers are just overwhelming. And so we want to, again, model that first and then teach good boundaries for them, use websites that are available to monitor their use of social media and things like that. And then in the area, you know, to protect them in the area of sexuality, first of all, to just teach them, you know, the private parts are private. I'm sometimes surprised when I see girls in the exam room that they don't seem to, you know, have a sense for that. And it's very important to keep them safe in that area so that nobody or somebody who might try to take advantage, they will know that this is not right. Mm-hmm. This is not something that just happens. Yeah, you need to be protected from it. So those are just some basic things. So the more we are educated as parents, the better our children will do.
Well, let's tackle a couple of those subjects. You had mentioned that girls should know that they need to eat right, to sleep, that they need to be physically active. And one of the things that helps to counteract is all of those hormonal changes and how that changes the way that your body reacts. That if you are physically active instead of being, you know, not being physically active, it's really going to help with those hormonal changes that are going on. Can you explain a little bit more about that? Because some people would feel like, oh, I feel terrible, I'm just going to lay around.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I would mention is this, that sleep and a lack of sleep is one of the biggest problems that people have that also impacts even their weight. And a lot of people don't know that, that there are hormones that are produced in the body, one called ghrelin and one called leptin. We speak about that in the book, that the more sleep you get, the more of the hormone you have that actually helps you maintain a healthy weight, and vice versa. So that if you don't get the sleep you need, you actually have more of the hormone that makes you get more hungry. And so the importance of sleep, not only to help you emotionally, physically, and spiritually, is huge, but then it also affects you in other areas, including your physical body. And so sleep is critical. And then your nutrition, obviously, is an area where sometimes our culture really doesn't help us, and so we have to be intentional about making healthier choices there, not only for ourselves, but to make them available to our children so that we have, you know, fruits and vegetables available, and that we try to model, you know, not drinking soda and choosing water more readily. Same thing with juice, choosing water over juice more consistently is important. And then the activity levels, which help not only with physically, but also emotionally, that hormones are released in the brain when you are physically active that are helpful in every area of your life. Mm. So it's all really critical, and many of us do well in two categories out of three, and so we can continually, improve in these areas. And I find that sometimes my children help all of us in that, and so the whole family can really work together to become healthier.
Well, and one of the things that I deal with my own kids is just the sugar. They want sugar. And then I try to explain to them that they're feeling tired. You know, they shouldn't have the sugar as well. And I know growing up that was something that when it was available, boy, you just grabbed onto it as much as you can. And as I read in your book, that's really going to hurt someone who's going through the changes that are associated with puberty.
Yeah, carbohydrates and fat, you know, both are very intimately related to one of the most common complaints we see, which is fatigue. People are just tired all the time, and it's happening a lot in younger people, too. It used to be that, you know, it was mostly the adults I saw, but now one of the things is not only the diet and the lack of activity, but then kids are overscheduled, and so it all starts impacting them, and then they come in tired, not knowing why, and so you do the workup and you check the blood work, and everything is okay, and so you're left with, well, talk to me about what you're eating, how active you are physically, and how much sleep you're getting. And if you address those three areas, almost all the tiredness and fatigue will go away.
And how can you use scripture to encourage your kids that this is really how God has made us to function the best way possible?
I would say to that it is all over scripture, that these things are good for us. I love thinking about the story of Daniel, and he's fast, but not only he's fast, but his choices in diet that were so critical to how he did and how faithful he was able to be and to God. This is all certainly what God calls us to. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to have energy to do the work he calls us to do. He wants us to do well. And so, but he gave us free will, and he gave us choices. And in our culture, we live in this land of abundance where there's, so, you know, you go to a grocery store and you can choose from 50 different brands of cereal. There are so many choices, and so we need to be intentional in making good choices as consistently as possible so that we can be healthier, have energy, and do God's work.
Well, and you write a great chapter on what do I do if I am overweight? And you offer some really sensible ideas of if you are struggling with weight, there are some easy and some practical tips that you can make without crash dieting. Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And the first thing I would say there is that if you are overweight, you are really, you have lots of company. It's really become an epidemic, obesity and overweight in this country. And a lot of it has to do with, again, what's available out there and the choices we make. But the good news is that there is so much we can do, and it is really not hard if you really think about what it is we need to do. What's hard is to do it and to be consistent. And it really helps to have a body and especially to have people in your own family who are going through this with you, so that it is easier for you to make good choices consistently. I think it is so hard to do these things alone, especially for the folks that are watching a lot of TV and spending a lot of time on social media. They need to get up and move, and that can sometimes be the most helpful thing they can do. As you get physically active, often that is motivating in itself, and then it can help you to make better choices in terms of eating. So
excellent.
Having a friend is great.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Mari today about what's happening in a girl's body and how we can help walk them through it. Back in a minute. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. It's great to have you here this afternoon. Today we're talking about puberty. Yep, that awkward yet amazing time in a teen's life when they may be asking, what in the world is happening to my body? Well, as a Christian mom, I'm constantly on the lookout for books for myself and my kids that will help them in that growing up process and help me understand as well. Having read the boys' version of this book we're talking about today, I was thrilled to see that Dr. Mari and Dr. Larimore had just finished the Ultimate Girls Body Book. It's an excellent source of information for girls who are going through puberty and for their parents to read as well. Coming from a doctor, it gives practical information about the changes that are happening in the body. Plus, it touches on viewing these changes from a Christian perspective to get kids thinking about their views before they're directly confronted with situations like drugs and sex, and even just image and body image. These are all such important subjects for teens to be going through, and to have that Christian perspective is paramount to make sure that they're making wise choices and the choices that God would have them make. Dr. Mari is joining me today, and if you are listening and you think, I need a copy of that book for my child or for yourself, give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or log on to myfaithradio.com, and we will get a copy of that book into your hands. Or maybe you have a question for Dr. Mari about your teenage girl. If they're at school, they can't hear you anyway, so you might as well ask the question. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. So Dr. Mari, before we left for the break, you had mentioned a little bit about social media, and that is just such a huge subject right now. What kinds of things should parents be discussing with their girls about social media?
Well, a huge topic, and the first thing I would say there is that parents just need to know. They need to become more engaged in social media so that they can know what their children are being exposed to. And this is a huge area that impacts really everything. And I love the scripture from Romans 12:2 that says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." To me, social media is an affront to, you know, our eyes, our ears, and our hearts and minds. And so it is a powerful weapon that the enemy can use. It is also a wonderful weapon that God can use because of things like what we're doing today. We can get the radio and the internet and have thousands of people listen. So there's many good things, but parents need to be engaged. And that's number one. Number two is that there are so many resources out there for parents, different websites and software that they can use to monitor their children's use, such as Be Secure Online and Safely.com. Those are just two examples. There's Plugged In Online is a great resource for movies and movie reviews that parents can look at before their kids go see the latest movie that's out there. So many, many resources out there. I think it's also so important to give our children boundaries, to have boundaries ourselves, not only with the time that we spend on social media, but the way we use it, and then to teach them. And we have very specific advice that we give, such as keeping all electronics outside of the bedroom. I am shocked with how many people let their children, teens, and even tweens go to bed with a cell phone that is on. And so they can be getting texts in the middle of the night and replying. And so then in the morning they are tired and we wonder why. So we can be part of that problem.
That is such a good point. I'm just reminded of this piece of scripture in my head that says to take every thought captive. And I remember having that conversation with my mom because I was always so worried about what people were saying or what people were thinking about me. And with social media these days, you know what they're saying and what they're thinking about you, and you're reading about it. It seems almost 10 times worse than anything that I would have had to confront as a teenager.
Right. It's a problem of our generation, and cyberbullying and sexting are huge problems. I mean, there's been suicides attached to cyberbullying. There's been, you know, all kinds of problems with sexting and child pornography and various things like that. So, yeah, these are huge problems. And if we're not engaged, we are really. But when we put a cell phone or a computer in the hands of our tween or teenager and give them few boundaries or no boundaries to deal with them, we have put potential problems in their hands.
Are there monitoring sites that you recommend?
Yeah, Covenant Eyes is one of them. We mention a few in the book. Be Secure Online, that's B without the E, B-S-E-C-U-R-E Online. And then, like I mentioned, Plugged In Online is a wonderful one to review. They have movie reviews and many other things there so that you know what you're getting into before you show up in the movie theater.
Excellent.
Safely.com is another one.
Faith.com?
Safely.com. Oh.
Okay, well, that is some great advice for people, especially if they're just, if their oldest child is just becoming a teenager and you think, oh, there's no way that my son or daughter is going to get engaged in anything that would be unruly online. What do you say to those parents?
Oh, my goodness. Well, and, you know, that's a great point to bring up the teen, because for us, for example, we have kids we have one in high school, one in middle school, and one in elementary school. So each of them has different boundaries. And, you know, we started with our teen, I mean, when he was, I don't know, four, you know, when they first start even having exposure to computers, we start teaching not to surf. For instance, our tweens don't surf online alone, and they know. And in fact, when they have homework, they come to me and say, Mom, I'm going to go to this site. And then if they need to surf for a project or something, I'm right there, because you just never know what they're going to get to. Of course, you want to block pop-ups. Pop-ups are, you know, a terrific way that predators can get into your home. And chat rooms are, of course, completely deleted from our lives. So yeah, there's so much we can do, but we do need to stay engaged. And then as they get older, you know, so now our teen teaches our younger ones. And so that's another benefit there, that then, you know, you have more than one person in the home to keep all of you accountable. So we have one room that is devoted to all electronics. And so when you come home, your iPod and your iPhone and whatever else stays in the computer room rather than with you in your pocket. And that way, family meals are not interrupted by, you know, texting or anything else, which also affects relationships. So you can be fully present with the people you're with. And that's another issue. And it's really an issue of respect. You know, when people are texting continually when they're with others, I'm sure we've all had the experience of going to a restaurant and seeing three or four people eating together, and two or three of them are on their phone, whether texting or speaking to someone. And so it really affects our relationships.
Yes, it's definitely a different world, and you do have some great tips and advice for parents as well as teens in your book on that subject. Speaking of which, we have a caller online who'd love to ask you a question, Debbie from Sioux Falls. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your question for Dr. Murray?
I am a mother of an 11-year-old. She actually just turned 11. She's in fifth grade, and she started developing right after her second grade year. I was pretty shocked by that, and so we took her into endocrinology, and they did one of the bone growth surveys, and he indicated that what she was going through was normal for her and that she would probably grow into stature to be about 5'4", 5'5". Well, right a month before her 11th birthday, she got her period for the first time in November. And so how long after, you know, a preteen gets that period will they continue to grow?
you know, within 2 years, but really the main point to make there is that every child is different. And so although there are some guidelines, and we cover them very specifically in the book, really every child is different. And so most of the guidelines, you can add or subtract a year or two. And most kids that are a little bit delayed, if they are, will eventually catch up. And it sounds very reassuring what you were told by the endocrinologist, and they are certainly an expert in that area. And often what we'll do is x-rays and other things, you know, blood work and such. But that, you know, the things you mentioned, it sounds like you've done the right thing. So I would certainly rely on their expert opinion there.
Thanks so much, Debbie, for calling in. You know, that brings me back. I was reading in your book just about how girls may complain they don't want to have a period, that they hate this. This is a terrible part about being a woman. And you write that every period can remind you that God entrusted you with a gift and with a responsibility. Talk a little bit more about that. I thought that was just amazing and great advice for someone who's just experiencing that for the first time.
Absolutely. And I remember my first experience and how my mom's reaction when she found out I had my first period was so beautiful and still a wonderful memory for me. And we can do that for our girls as moms to help them be prepared. And then when the time comes, really celebrate, because our periods have everything to do with the fact that we are women. And we are women and have the amazing privilege and gift that God has given us to potentially become a mother one day. Oh my goodness, I can't imagine any greater gift than to participate in creating another human life, and with the immense worth that God places on each human life, and we get to participate. So our periods remind us every single time that we are women and that God has blessed our bodies, like he blessed Mary with the immense privilege of carrying Jesus in her womb. Can you imagine that he chose a girl, most likely a teenage girl, who was faithful and said yes to him and then blessed her with carrying him in her womb? And we have that same dignity and an awesome gift to be able to carry a child in our womb. So to me, one of the things that saddens me in medicine is so many girls who want to not have periods, because again, it's just taking away that monthly reminder that God made us for a purpose. And not that everyone is able to have children, but we innately as women have that in our sort of DNA. And so it's a tremendous gift and something to be valued very highly.
Well, and that kind of brings me to, you write a chapter on sex, a couple different chapters on sex, but one of them talks about how it's so important to have that conversation with your middle schooler that once you do have your period, you could absolutely get pregnant when you have sex, and just open up that conversation that this is what your body is capable of right now. And so to talk about the importance of waiting or of not having sex or just whatever that conversation is with your teen, that's the time to have it.
Absolutely, yes. Regardless of your age, if you've had a period, if you have sex, you could get pregnant, and that is the truth. And very important conversations that should start before even before the preteen years, is just to give our children a sense for who God made them to be, and that our sexuality is a huge part of who we are, and that through our sexuality and being made male and female, we reveal something of God's image, which is in us. A God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and lives in perfect fellowship. We also are called to fellowship, and he made us male and female for a very important reason, and that you cannot separate sex from the ability to procreate and have children from that relationship. So these are such important topics that go really to our identity and who we are.
Great advice. We've been talking to Dr. Amaryllis Sanchez-Wolliver. She's a pastor's wife, a family physician, and an inspirational speaker. She has co-authored a book with Dr. Walt Larimore called The Ultimate Girl's Body Book, Not-So-Silly Questions About Your Body. If you have a not-so-silly question you'd like to ask Dr. Mari, give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Log on to myfaithradio.com.
You can enter your question there. And we do still have, I think, one more copy of Dr. Mari's book. So we'd love to get that in your hands as well. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we'll be right back.
It's not just information, it's transformation.
A lot of things have kind of gone on in the last year or so, the last few years, actually. I just needed something different. Just kind of was poking around, and I found it. It's a reassurance that the Lord is there with me. Listening to the messages all day long, it brings peace to my day. Not only that, I mean, I've been educated. He's there all day, all the time.
Connecting faith to life every day. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitmer, General Manager of Faith Radio. You and I both know that living for Jesus is a lifelong journey. And we're committed to helping you connect faith to life with access when you need it. And to help you keep your faith strong throughout the day, we'd like to send you a Live by Faith wristband. It's free. Wear it each day as a reminder that you're on a journey of faith. If you would like your free wristband, visit myfaithradio.com to request yours. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Jo Rathmanner, and today I'm talking to Dr. Mari. She's written a book called The Ultimate Girl's Body Book about the changes that happen in a girl's body from preteen all the way to the adult years and how parents can have conversations with their teenage girls just about these subjects that may be confusing and a little bit intimidating. And that growing up should not be a mystery. So instead of asking, why don't I look like her, or what, I have to use that, or is that normal? This is just a book that's going to give you some great talking points on how to have those conversations with your teens. If you're interested in getting a copy, give us a call at 877-933-2484, or maybe you want to ask Dr. Mari a specific question that you may have in dealing with your teenage daughter. Dr. Mari, you had written a chapter about drugs, alcohol, and dangerous games. Can you explain the necessity for that chapter? And would you have had to do that several years ago, or is this something new?
Maybe not. You know, certainly some of the risks are much worse nowadays. But, yeah, kids as young as, you know, 11 and 12 are drinking and smoking, you know. And so the numbers are staggering of the problems that come from these risk-taking behaviors, is what we call them in medicine. And so anything we can do to be deterrents in them even trying that first time is so incredibly helpful. So we want to not think naively that our kid will not be the, you know, the kid who does drugs or who starts drinking young. We want to, you know, continually be sending out these messages that these things are not good for you, that they are not godly, they are not God's plan for their lives, and they are dangerous. And, you know, I had the very unfortunate experience of spending a summer, it was a great experience to spend a summer with someone I love very much, a dear woman who lives by the beach. But the very first day of our vacation, their friend's daughter was killed by a drunk driver. And so this really hit home very close to our family, you know, how awful the consequences can be. And so, we need to continually be addressing whether it's sexuality, social media, alcohol, drugs, dangerous games, daring behaviors, which is the thing that goes on often with the preteens, things like that, just to stay alert. And educate.
Well, and temptation seems to be just a huge pressure for teens these days. And you wrote in your book, 1 Corinthians 10:13, I'm just going to read that. It seems so applicable for teens who are going through, or really for adults who are going through any temptation as well. It says, no temptation has overtaken you. What is common to mankind, except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
Why did you choose to put that scripture verse in, and have you used that with your own kids?
Absolutely, and what a great reminder of God's grace and God's mercy, and that He is always there, that He's always watching, and He is always ready to forgive, but also to provide a way of escape in the way the scripture puts it. And so, yeah, we can trust that God has a great plan for us, and that, yes, we are all tempted, and the Bible makes it very clear that none of us, that we are all vulnerable in that area. Jesus was tempted, but Jesus, using God's word, was able to defeat the enemy every time. And certainly the greatest victory and the final defeat was on the cross through what He did for us. So, but yeah, we are tempted just like Jesus was, and we also have a way provided by God just like Jesus was. And so He is our example in every way, including that. And we can be victorious, but we do need to be alert. And we also need to realize that we all make mistakes, and we all stand in need of mercy and forgiveness, and thank God He provides it. Mm-hmm. So we can also provide it for each other. And certainly as parents, we want to know that, you know, our kids are growing. They will make mistakes. And so we want to model Jesus in that way, providing education, teaching our children, but then also being there, providing mercy and grace. And that doesn't mean we don't discipline and that there are no consequences, but we do want to be grace-filled parents. Yeah.
Well, and you also gave some great tips about just saying no. In this case, it could deal with drugs or alcohol or sex. It says learn the nice way to say no, N-I-C-E. N is to say no, not maybe or later. I is to follow your no with an I statement. I'm not going to have sex till I get married. Or no, I'm not going to try that drug. C is if the pressure continues, change the subject. Talk about something else. And E, if these strategies don't help, you need an exit plan and to leave the situation immediately. My parents were always very clear that if I was in a position somewhere where I needed to get out, that I could call them at any time of day. And this was well into college, not just when I was in high school, that I could call them and that they would make sure they came and got me. No questions asked until the next day. And that worked for our family. What are some other strategies that might work for parents?
Well, you know what I would say is that one of the best things that will help in that area is good friends. And for me, as I look back, and it was so fun to remember so many stories of my friends growing up. And I am blessed with three BFFs that are still my best friends today. We've been friends for 35 years, and we kept each other accountable. We had similar values. We had similar goals in life. We were each very different, but we were good friends. And so we helped each other to make good choices. We were places where we could confess, and we could come and get help and get wise counsel. And certainly a strong relationship with your child as a parent is one of the greatest deterrents. You know, even though especially in the preteen and teen years, their peer groups will become so important in their decisions and the things they do, you as a parent will always have the most significant influence on your child's life. And so fostering not only a peer group that is very strong is important, and also then just fostering a very strong relationship, you know, parent to child. And also the other thing that really helps, I think, there is to, for us as parents, to know the parents of our children's friends with whom they're hanging out. I always love to have their friends over here rather than having our children play somewhere else, because you get to hear the conversations, you get to hear the issues that your friends, your child's friends are dealing with, and it can really help you as a parent to know which areas to hone in on. And have a deeper influence there. So, but having strong friends with like-minded and with the same values can be just wonderful, not only in the preteen years, but later, as it's been in my case.
One of the other subjects that I looked at in your book was dealing with emotions and how the Bible gives us great example of how to deal with emotions. We were having a conversation over the holidays, and my children asked my dad, well, what was Joe like when she was a teenager. And my dad said, I don't know. I'd get home from work and she'd be sitting on the couch. I'd say, Joe, how was your day? And she'd get up and run in her room and slam the door. And so he said, I didn't even know how to deal with you. And so I laughed when I was reading this chapter about emotions in the Bible and moodiness. How can you advise parents to just keep trying? He said he just every day asked me the same question. How was your day?
That's sweet. Yeah, I think you've changed a lot, Joe.
I hope so. I do talk to him a lot now.
Yeah, I think it's, I love it. Each child is so different. We are blessed with three, and each of them is very different. I think you tend to relate differently with each one based on their personalities, right? So, it's so important with the children. I have some friends whose children are very different from them and that tend to be more quiet. And so their parent is very driven and, you know, kind of a go-getter, and their child is more quiet. It can be very difficult, that dynamic. And just letting your child be who God made them to be. Sometimes we try to make our child into something that God has not meant for them to be. So it takes some acceptance of that, and also just really a lot of prayer. I mean, to me as a parent, what a great gift we have that we can be in direct communication 24 hours a day, every day, with God, the source of all truth and wisdom, and so that he can help guide my relationship with each of my children, and he will do that for each of us as we ask him for wisdom. He really promises that he will give it.
And to let our kids know that we are praying for them. My child, he had a big test, and I said, you know, what time is your test? I'm going to be praying for you at that time. And he said, you would do that? And it just kind of made me laugh because I thought, well, yes, I'm praying for you all the time when you're not here, you know, over your safety, over your emotional health, over your spiritual health, and I'll pray over your test. And that meant a lot to him.
Absolutely. And I've been known to, you know, recently, I think it was about 2 months ago, I was getting gas in the car and I remembered, oh, goodness, my son was taking a huge test. And so I thought to call him. So I called him on the cell phone. I said, hey, I want to pray with you. And so we prayed on the phone as I was pumping gas in the car. So it's readily available, this gift God has given us. And yes, it really helps for our children to see our faith in action. And then not only in our lives, but then in our relationship with them. I think it strengthens their faith. And so that's a gift we can give them.
Absolutely. They are going to do what we do, not necessarily what we say. And if we can model that prayer life that we have, then they're going to be drawn to that as well. Well, today I've been talking to Dr. Amarilla Sanchez-Wolliver, or Dr. Mari, as we've been calling her, who has co-authored a great book called The Ultimate Girl's Body Book, Not So Silly Questions About Your Body. Gives practical advice not only for girls, but also for their parents to have some conversations about the changes that are taking place in their body and how to honor God along the way. Thanks so much for joining us on Connecting Faith.